What's up? This is Tool Man.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hitney Cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org.
Right on, right on. Hey, I got a couple young warriors here, and we are live at KFAI, and I know I just want to give a big shout-out to all the people out here that listen to KFAI and listen to Native Roots Radio. I hear you. I really appreciate when you come up to me at different places and say that you've heard this show, and it's great. We're live here, and I got a couple warriors here, young warriors, but I guess, Miguel, everyone's young compared to me. Ho-wah. Hey, why don't you introduce yourself in a good way? Go ahead first, Bear.
Hello. My name is Bear Dion. I come from Turtle Mountain, and I'm from Minneapolis.
His sacred area here. Go ahead. You're up next.
Yeah. Tius nola Isabella. Hola, mi amo Isabella. Hi, I'm Isabella. My parents are from Mexico. I was born here in Chicago. Very much a Minnesota native.
Right on. Hey, we did a tour earlier, studio in Minneapolis here at KFAI Studio. What was one of the things that you surprised you the most? Or you've been here before, so what are one of the things that surprised you the most, Bear?
You guys' music library. I mean, I've never been in an area like that, I guess, with so much like music on standby.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah, right on. And we should have a music show sometime here at KFAI. What do you think about that?
I'm down with that.
What kind of music do you like?
I like everything. I like rock. I like hip hop. I love hip hop, R&B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, name a couple artists real quick, so I can either be hip with you or not hip with you.
Contemporary or
anybody.
I know Bear really likes Rolling Stones. We were listening to that in the car.
Right on. Which album do you know? See, like when I was in high school, Some Girls came out, and that was the just before Sticky Fingers, and Sticky Fingers had the zipper and the pants, and that was very revolutionary. And then Some Girls had all these pictures of people, of women that, you know, from the 30s and 40s and 50s, and then the Rolling Stones got sued for using their likeness. And there's another album out there with blank pictures and only a few pictures, and the album was called Some Girls. But that's all I remember about the 70s. Ho-wah! You know, that was a joke for old people out there listening. They know if you really were involved in the 70s, you don't remember it. So that's okay. Young ones didn't get that one. The Rolling Stones, which album were you listening to?
I don't know the album, but the song was Paint It Black.
Oh.
Paint It Black.
Right on. Should we sing that in a good way? I see a red door and I want to paint it
black.
Hey!
Right on.
Let's go, Bear.
Right on. Right on. So, Bear, do you speak, and are you Dakota or Ojibwe or some sacred like Ho-Chunk?
My dad's Ojibwe and my mom's Lakota. She's from Standing Rock.
Oh.
On the north side, north side of the reservation. And, you know, my dad's from Turtle Mountain, which is also located in the same state, North Dakota. So
That's very cool. And I don't know if you know this, 9 years ago we started Native Roots Radio because of Standing Rock and all the misinformation and no information that was coming out of there. And we basically talked about Standing Rock for every, it was a 1 hour show, and we talked about Standing Rock every week. And we'd be out there, and we were out there for Thanksgiving. And it was probably the second biggest city in North Dakota because there were so many people there. It was 20,000 people at Standing Rock. You guys heard of Standing Rock, right? The Dakota Access Pipeline?
Yeah.
Yeah, no dapple. Yeah.
Right on. Tell me what you know about it.
You're talking about me?
Well, they put a pipeline. A pipeline was going through Bismarck, and the white people, I heard the crack of the knuckles there. The white people did not want the pipelines going through their city because pipelines leak. So they said, put it through this reservation. And that's what happened. And just a year before that, President Obama was at Standing Rock and said, there's no way that there's going to be a pipeline going through your reservation. And as he was still president, a pipeline was being built and headed right towards the reservation, right through the Missouri River. And the tribal leaders at Standing Rock asked for help. And I know I went down there as a high school teacher. We went down there, students, Native students and allies. We took a bus to Standing Rock for a long weekend to help the young ones that were feeding everybody, to give them a break. And there was about 1,000 people there, and it was crazy. It was just before the week that that they had dogs down there biting on people.
Yeah, I was crazy because I feel like it's been coming up in conversations a lot with my friends, and they were telling me their experiences there, like being on the front lines and like just saying like that was like their first or like their like last time of like being in the front lines.
Yeah, well, there's front lines happening soon here now too, and we know our friends in California, and we also see ICE agents cruising around the Twin Cities too. And and I know you have a story about that that you probably can't talk about, when we won't talk about it, but I know it's time to rise. And we're in Minneapolis, where American Indian Movement started. And they started because of the injustices that were happening to their people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're at that point again here as Native Americans and brown people and BIPOC people. We're at that standing point again that we need to resist.
Yeah, exactly. Like you were saying before this, like the eagle and the condor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that I've listened to a lot of elders from here talk about a lot. And like being from Oaxaca, which is like the second most indigenous state in Mexico, I've grown up very closely to my own Zapotec indigenous roots. And I think it's really important that all brown people, you know, whether they identify as like, you know, indigenous or trying to find those roots, I think it's really important to remember the occupation that is all over the Americas, whether it be Mexico, Ecuador, the United States. We are all occupied people, and our culture comes from a bastardized version of our actual identity. And so for me, it's always been really important to talk about and to name the groups. Yeah, and I think it's really important for us to remember that there's indigenous people from the South that are here, you know, with Northern natives. And like, that's been happening way before like these borders even existed, was the trading routes that we created with one another.
You know, it always blows my mind, and I'm kind of changing the subject about trading routes, but just a path that we as indigenous people in the Twin Cities here are now major roads. Like Snelling Crazy. Avenue was a major trading route at one time, and now it's, you know, 30, 40,000 people drive on that street. But it has its roots based in, you know, 510,000 years ago.
It's crazy. I mean, like, I feel like so much of what is, quote-unquote, American culture really just comes from what the original people of these lands have already cultivated and created.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, one of the things, too, that really freaked me out, I've had to go to Wisconsin more because I used to be, until a couple days ago, I was a tribal representative in tribal government. And all the names of indigenous people and places and lakes and things like that through all of Wisconsin and, of course, Minnesota for sure. But it's just like it's still there. And we hear people talk about my family's been here for a couple generations.
Yeah.
And, well, we've been here for 10,000 years.
Exactly.
And so it's hard to equate. I like to bring that up to them and remind them that, you know, 40 years ago or 100 years ago is not, you know, the first 500 years ago when Columbus came here and started this whole ratification of brown people from its own lands.
Yeah.
So, Bear, why don't you jump in, too? I know you're doing some great work, and your family's got some great work happening in Minneapolis, and the organization that you're part of is kind of why you're here, because we're going to try and get a podcast going for you. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I'm an intern with Indigenous Peoples, IPM, Indigenous Protectors Movement. My dad and my stepmom are co-founders of the org, and they want to change. What I'm doing right now, though, is a little different from what they're doing. I'm going to be doing a podcast about different issues that, you know, we currently face, we've faced in the past. And some of them are like cultural identity, MMIR, things like that. And I'm just now learning the ropes about like how to navigate, how to write a script, you know, what equipment to use, mm-hmm. what to say, how to keep myself engaged and my guests engaged.
Right on.
And you know, I am having difficulties personally with like script writing or whatever.
Well, you can see all the planning I do before the show. Okay, you guys were supposed to laugh because I didn't do any planning.
No, you're just like rock and roll. Just
well, I've been doing it for 9 years. And if it wasn't for you two, and we just had Deanna Standing Cloud on before, and she just rocked it by herself. Yeah, I could not do that. I'd be saying, that's what I would be doing instead of having a conversation with you guys. So there's ways to get around it, and everybody has their story. And I just feel like you could be like I am into a conduit to people's stories. Because I'm not an expert about you two, but you're an expert on yourself. So you can bring some good guests in. And I've been blessed over the years to have great guests that I've learned so much. Can we talk a little bit more about were you going to say something?
Yeah, I
how you raised your hand. That felt like I was teaching again. Oh, what?
I said, speaking of guests or whatever, I didn't know I was going to be a guest until, you know, like 2 weeks ago when I met you officially when we were having dinner. And like, you know, like I said, since I'm new to this whole process, I bombarded you with questions or whatever that I was like coming up at the top of my head because I was like, oh no, what if so-and-so does this? And I don't know. I was when you said I was going to be a guest on here, I was like, I never been on the radio. So I was like, Oh no, you know, like, what am I going to say? You know, am I going to freeze up? I kind of do feel like that.
It never goes away.
Yeah.
Right, Miguel? Miguel's saying no, it never goes away. Yeah. So, yeah, but again, the guests you have and just knowing what they're going to talk about and these hours go so fast. We've already talked for 12 minutes. You know, that's amazing. So can we talk a little bit about the story, to give the backstory of the condor and the eagle and what you know about that? Because I think it's really important because, as you know, to be colonized, people need to separate people that would naturally be allies. And I feel like if we don't tell the story often, our allies out there that are listening to the show and our other allies don't know how close we are, because when people are getting swooped up by ice, that's 1 degree away from a native person being swept up by ice. And
exactly.
I say that for a couple reasons, because the way we look and the color of our hair, but also, you know, are you going to take my tribal ID? Or does some people that are native, a native enough blood quantum because the government told us that this is what we should do? But, you know, the tribes stepped up and got tribal IDs with cards and things like that when this all went down. But still, there's people that are going to be left out where their lineage is native and they look, you know, a Latino or, you know, dark hair and beautiful brown eyes like mine.
Exactly that. I mean, I feel like what's really, what has remained consistent throughout what is now known as the United States and Mexico is the criminalization of brown people.
Yeah.
And how that lineage to, whether it be to like condemn more hate onto us or whether it be like to like, you know, oppressing us in the smallest ways, that's consistent throughout all of the Americas. And that's something I've seen for a lot of my life, going back to Mexico and seeing that in Oaxaca, and also knowing that right now there's gentrification happening. And like within our own neighborhoods here, even in LA and New York, and seeing that consistently come through, I think that there's been a resistance within the Chicano and the, you know, AIM movement. Mm-hmm. There's always been that allyship.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, you know, people don't like to mention too much or, you know, talk about that needs to be mentioned.
Right. The brown berets. And and also one thing I want to mention, too, about AIM, American Indian Movement. Mm-hmm. The leaders were watching what was happening with the Black Panther movement and wanted to get involved like mm-hmm. the Black Panthers. And, you know, before the news and people really got down on the Black Panthers, you guys don't probably know this, but because you're young, but they were feeding community. They were doing all these great things, but yet they got, you know, commercialized in a sense that they were bad people and they carried guns and they wore black leather jackets and they were bad people.
They were radical. They were just like really way ahead of their times. But I think my bad.
Is that my phone right there?
I don't know.
Yeah. I've been looking all over for that.
Yeah.
Hey, so, Miguel, when do we start? Is this, have we started yet? Oh, yeah, the show's been going on. Okay, cool. No, but that's, I thought this, we were just practicing, but this is live. No, I'm just kidding. Bear, you had something to say. I saw you raise your hand, and I, again, felt like a teacher again. Hoa.
Yeah, about the, you know, like, are they going to accept your tribal ID card or mm-hmm. what? Because, like, I'm not even enrolled. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not enrolled yet. So, like, what is that going to look like if I got detained? I'm a little scared of that for myself and, you know, my friends and family that aren't enrolled.
Yeah, it's huge. Your tribe's got to step up, though, because, like, Ho-Chunk, they're getting cards out and paperwork for lineage people, too. And so that's one of the nations, one of the tribes are doing out there, but... no, it's a frightening thing. It is. And it's for someone like me, I'm 64 years old. I can't believe I'm seeing this.
Yeah,
I really can't.
I think it's like the wave of violence. It's like, to me, it's just another form of apartheid that what's happening right now. You know, just in the same way. And it's almost like it was like we saw it coming with Palestine. And so seeing it now coming back to home base, to where a lot of these like racist policies like really started having like an imperial power in the U.S., like just seeing it come out again, I think that I'm not surprised, but I am kind of like alerted that like where everybody else is surprised, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I got to tell you a quick story. Again, I'm old and so I was brought up during the Vietnam protests. Mm-hmm. So I was young during that, and people were protesting the war. Well, fast forward to George Bush 1, and I couldn't believe how people were so into him bombing a foreign country and killing over 200,000 people.
Yeah,
the United States had shifted, and I grew up with the nightly news saying that... we killed 100 Viet Cong and 50 American soldiers were killed. And there was a count every night, and we were winning because 50 more Viet Cong were killed than mm-hmm. Americans. And so I thought that we had gone through that process where war stinks and all this, and then we go back into another generation, and here we are again. The United States is, as a country... I think it's only been like 10 years out of the 250 years that they have not been in war.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how the United States was like founded, was like to make you know, weapons for other countries. It's a factory nation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that's the basis of its culture. And people forget that.
Well, I know we're talking pretty heavy here and we're going to take a break pretty soon, but yeah. I'd really probably I want to switch gears too, because I always talk about with my guests on Native Roots Radio, what is the solution? What is the what do we need to do? What's yeah. the and I think we can talk about that. That would be awesome. Just because we got to feel better about ourselves, and I don't feel good about myself, but myself, because there's so much going on. I'm just getting bombarded with all this stuff. And I heard a great thing where focus on one thing, you know, whether it's like you want to protect animals or, you know, dogs, or you want to protect your family. But just concentrate on one thing, because there's just so much going on.
And there's there's so many roles to play in the revolution. And there's so many of us. That's why, like, the people are the power, you know? And, like, as you were saying, like, we've been here for generations. Like, time is on our side. Time's always going to be on our side.
Well, and you talk to older Native Americans, which I do, and they're not surprised, and they're used to this. So, I mean, I think the people that are freaking out are allies out there that aren't used to seeing this in living color, because we go Facebook Live, we do all these things that show what's happening in LA right now, and what happened on Lake Street a few weeks ago that just blew my mind. But the power to the people came up.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, Baird, like, what do you think about the power to the people?
I wonder if we have power to the people that we could use that as a song. Why don't we look that up for a bumper song? Go ahead, Bear.
I don't know.
Because you've been through, I mean, I feel like you've been around a lot of people that have, that like either cultivate power or they like want to empower people in the community.
Yeah.
I guess that's true. I don't know.
Well, like your dad and your stepmom who did that march across the country for Leonard Peltier. That's empowering, and that's a powerful statement. They were on my show giving updates during that whole thing. That's a great example with just your family.
Yeah, now that you say that, I guess I have been around a lot of people, but I guess I'll just mainly use my stepmom and my father. That's how they met, was on the walk, you know, and they ended up getting married and having a kid. And then, you know, now they're here in Minneapolis and studied IPM. There's also our director, our ED, Crow Belcourt. And he speaks well. He speaks he MCs at a lot of places. You know, and I guess his power to the people is like, I don't know, he brings that like comfort, that joy or whatever.
Yeah, and I know Crow, his father was on my show many times, and Clyde Belcourt, founding member of American Indian Movement, and Crow was brought up in that environment with his mother and father. Super involved, and he has a great lineage, and he's also a great singer. He's has many trophies of powwow singing, but he's also here working with you guys as executive director, and it's awesome that people like yourself, you know, with your father, that you're picking up the baton and joining in the revolution.
Thanks.
That was French, la revolution.
Yeah, no, I feel like Bear has a lot of great insight when it comes to bringing it back to the people in a humble way too, because I feel like right now not everything's positive, but you know, people still want to listen, people still want to hear stories, and you know, in a way where it's relatable. So
yeah, definitely. I wonder if we should take a quick break here. And do we have Power to the People? Because I want to sing along with that as a bumper. Oh, we do. Hey, well, this is Native Roots Radio on Fresh Air, and let's read this one of these real quick here again for the heck of it.
Yeah. You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org.
Great job.
Support for KFAI comes from the Dakota, presenting Keiko Matsui Wednesday, July 16th. Contemporary jazz pianist, composer, and humanitarian Keiko Matsui is touring for her 30th album, Euphoria. More information for Keiko Matsui at the Dakota can be found at dakotacooks.com.
Do you get tired of never-ending hagglers at your garage sale?
Excuse me, you've got this marked at 15 cents. Will you take 12 and a half?
Well, when you host your garage sale through the KFAI Garage Sale Tour, you'll have the perfect reason to stick to your guns.
These bowling shoes aren't my size, so I should get a discount.
Sign up to be part of the KFAI Garage Sale Tour. KFAI will promote your garage sale, and you donate part of the proceeds. It's a great way to clean out the garage and support KFAI.
Hey, there's a scratch on this football helmet.
Just go to kfai.org/garage sale for more details and to sign up.
I'm looking for some cheap skates.
Have you tried this mirror?
Native Roots Radio on KFAI, a special live edition here. I have some rock and roll guests here that we're really talking. And it's great to talk to young people because it really gives somebody old like me a really good feeling in my heart that the young ones are picking it up. Hey, welcome back. And Bear, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing here and also the organization that you are in. And it's pretty exciting, and talking about your podcast and thinking it through and getting some, and you didn't think you were going to be on the radio, so that's a good thing. We always throw you right in there, and then you say, hey, that wasn't that bad. But tell us a little bit about it, Brer.
like I said, I'm interning with IPM, but that's through Indigenous Peoples Task Force. So that's their Keep the Fire Alive program. I like the program. I think it's a great program. They build you up to learn to work together as a team, and it's from 18 to 24, so it's young adults.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the orgs that they intern at is all like majority like native based.
Mm-hmm.
So like MIWRC, Indigenous Peoples Task Force, IPM, you know, like the Indian Center, like the Gatherings Cafe.
Yep.
Just to name a few. There's some amazing young adults there. I could definitely see them becoming like, you know, like future community leaders,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And I was like really impressed with their writing, their speaking. The first couple of days of the training is mostly like communicating well, and everyone for the first couple of days was afraid to speak, I guess. And I don't know, it was weird. It was really weird seeing that. And I guess that gave me more confidence in speaking right there. And I kind of like set the tone, I felt like, me personally. But yeah, the training lasted for 3 weeks before. And then we got a list of orgs that we wanted to go at. And then, like, for obvious reasons, I guess, I wanted to choose IPM because they were doing a podcast. And mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I never did this before. And then also my parents are like co-founders.
Mm-hmm.
So I was all like, you know, this is like the go-to for me, you know. And I've done work with IPM, volunteer work in the past. So I was like, yeah, this is my spot.
Right on.
Yeah.
Can you do me a quick favor? Can you move that? Because I can't see Bear's face and I didn't realize that.
This?
Yeah, just turn it down. We're also on Native Roots Radio Facebook. If just lay it down.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Because I just noticed that people that are watching us on Facebook Live and YouTube can't see Bear because we're blocking them. But hey, live radio, isn't that cool? I just segued into a, you know, take that down. Tell us a little bit of a Bear. That's exciting. And what you said about young people too, being an old high school teacher and having an all native homeroom and seeing a lot of the people that were in my class that have stepped up. There's a student of mine that works at the Indian Center, Mishko, and she's just a doer, and she's unbelievable, and she does things in a good way, and she has a big heart, and there's a lot of them, but she's one of them that comes to mind right away.
Yeah, Bear's pretty dope, because he actually, so Mini Shields is under IPM, and he helps with that as well. He's always has his clipboard with him, and he's always, like, counting and tallying, like, who's in, who's out, and so it is pretty dope to see, like, younger people come up.
What does dope mean? No, I'm just kidding. I get
it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. So you guys are also the Indigenous Peoples Task Force, don't they do walks around the neighborhood, Franklin Avenue? Can you talk a little bit about that? Because that, to me, is old school AIM.
Indigenous Peoples Task Force, when I'm on patrol with Many Shields. Yes,
Many Shields. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I do see our Indigenous Peoples Task Force picking up, like, talking to relatives, you know, handing out, like, bottles of water. I'm directing them towards the areas they need to go. But Many Shields or whatever, we're kind of, like, security / outreach. We direct the relatives towards, we relocate them off the property, and we direct them towards resources like MIWRC, Indigenous Peoples Task Force, AICDC. My dad's, he's, what is he, like the, I don't know, he's like team manager or something, mm-hmm. for their outreach program. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty much learning like all my techniques from my father on how to deal with people of any background, whether they're like houseless or not, you mm-hmm. know, or whether they're intoxicated or not, you know. He's really good at like de-escalating situations, and I guess I don't know, I learn and observe.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to de-escalate a few situations myself, and I don't know, it's a pretty good group of guys. We have Monday meetings at 7 p.m. at the Indian Center.
Yeah,
every Monday.
It's pretty radical.
Yeah, Many Shields. I guess I missed called it, but Many Shields reminds me of the old days of AIM Patrol. And because old days, Franklin Avenue was full of bars, and you don't see that now. But back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, it was loaded with bars, and it was a rough place to be. AIM did a lot of outreach and help to people like Many Shields is doing.
Yeah, it's pretty radical. I feel like it gives
pretty
a great...
dope.
Yeah, really dope alternative to, like, police. You know, it's like the people watching out for the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it needs to be.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to... We're at past the halfway point here, and we talked about the things that are happening, and we didn't really talk about the big bill or any of those things now, but we did talk about resistance and Native Americans and our brown allies and are used to resistance. And I have a T-shirt that says resist that you can get. Never mind, I was going to give a little plug where you could get it. But we've been resisting for over 500 years. And so what I want to ask both you too is, what is the call to action? Where are we at? And I know I've been to the Capitol where there's 80,000 people protesting, but geez, I feel like we got to get to the streets. And there's only 3.5% of the community has to be engaged, and that's roughly, I don't know, I heard 12 million people in order to overthrow a government, and we're well past that right now. With all the protests across the country, what do you see as the call to action?
I would say, like, know your neighbors, know your rights. Yeah, and like, learn as much as you can about, you know, like the entity that's like governing, you know, and like, I think, you know, knowing your local officials is also really important, because like, and I feel like what people don't understand that's so bogus about this administration is that he's using the FBI, which is federal force, which is like the higher ground force, to come into like local governments. And by the Constitution and by like the, you know, what is the United States, you know, every state and every city has the right to govern themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so this administration is challenging that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the people of the U.S. like forget that the whole point of them taking away power is them coming in and enforcing and inflicting whatever it is that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really important for people to be reminded like why it's important to be involved in community, why it's important to just like know the people around you and, you know, understand that like your power comes from the people around you as well.
Mm-hmm. Like-minded thinkers, because you know, I get around and there's family members, there's people out there that don't believe the same things I do, and I really feel like it's not only good over evil, it's empathy over goodness.
Exactly.
And I believe
exactly.
People have lost their way or have never had empathy, and that comes with narcissism and all those things. And I remember the first time around when Trump first became president, there was a red hat that said, "Make racists afraid again."
Yeah.
And that's not the case. He's promoted them to feel like they can do anything they want. And January 6th is a great example of that. It's empathy. These people don't have empathy.
Yeah.
And
I've been writing a lot about that, like the other side of that, of how like the apathy is growing and how I don't think we understand that like our devices and our comfort fuel it. And whenever it is that whatever content we consume, like because it's just more easier to hear what we want, like it requires less empathy.
Yeah. Well, Bear, there was only 30% of this country voted for this guy, and it isn't a mandate. And so doing things grassroots, like the Many Shields, is a really good way to resist. And I applaud you for that. And being young and stepping up, it's scary, almost as scary as being on the radio. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess that is. That it, I mean, it is. Yeah, it is. It is scary being on the radio. But
you got this.
Well, you've already done it. So even if it ended right now, you already did it. So good job.
Yeah,
we'll get you a coffee cup after this. It says KFAI on it. Oh, you didn't want that.
You already got one.
No, but it is a form of resistance, what you're doing. And all these little pieces like that really push back all the bad stuff. So, again, I applaud you, your family, but you especially as a young person stepping up and in being there for your people, period. It's huge.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from one of my elders.
Ho-wah. Baby elder.
That's dope as heck.
Yeah. So what is next? I mean, I want to protest. I want to keep talking about this on my radio show. It's hard because over the years I've had, you know, musicians on, comedians on, artists on, but we've been hitting the politics because I feel like mainstream media has really let us down. They've normalized this in an unbelievable way, and we talk about that, and we want to talk about truth and what we see in our own truth and our own healing.
Yeah, no, I think touching on the subject of, like, just being around the community, you know, and, like, you know, doing patrols and things like that, I feel like once you're in it, though, like, it's not as scary as what people make it seem because, you know, like, the person right next to you is less of a threat than what, you know, what we're living in right now. And I think that, like, once you understand, like, the rhythm of the flow of your community and your neighborhood, then you get to understand your own environment in which you came from and understand, like, your own background. And I think that helps a person to be like, okay, well, I want to see this change. And one thing that I try to think about is, like, radical imagination and to actually think about, like, okay, if I were to do my environment all over again, if I were to do the city all over again, how would I want that to look like? You know, and I think we don't ask those questions enough to be like, okay, I do want more. What does that look like? How can I obtain that?
So can you give me an example of that? Whether it would be, if I'm tracking with you, whether it would be like this area would be a good place to farm for the community. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about? Or reimagining a concrete city?
Yeah, basically. Because, I mean, for me, for example, I live on the east side. And lately there's been a lot of big plots of land that were just all green, you know, and it just to think about what could be there. But then instead we have developers coming in and making into, like, condos or apartments, and, like, and none of those developers or companies are gonna, you know, bring back to the east side.
They're not from the community.
No, they're
not. It's the gerrymandering, or not gerrymandering, it's gentrification of the neighborhood and making it, you know, your generation is probably the first generation that's going to be poorer than the previous generation, because one of the biggest things that gives you wealth or generational wealth is owning property or owning a home. And that's impossible. And there's somebody right now that owns a professional basketball team here in Minnesota that I heard him speak about his wealth, and he said he owned 150 doorknobs. And what does that mean? 150,000 doorknobs. What does that mean? That means he owns 150,000 houses across the United States. That's how he's getting rich, by either turning them into B&Bs or bringing up the value bringing up the value of these homes that people can't afford. Like, you guys should be able to afford a home, and right now it's out of reach because of people like him.
It's crazy to hear people are, like, bringing back rent parties. you know,
bring back what?
Rent parties.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you okay. know, or like, or, yeah, which I think is pretty dope. You know, I just got invited to one. And I think those are like the pockets of revolution we don't really think about can... It's a small thing.
No, it's not.
But it's like the culture of like, okay, how can we empower ourselves with what we got? You know, yeah. It's kind of like, you know, when you make like an altar, right? You know, what can you bring to the cause? Mm-hmm. What can you bring to like the ceremony, the little that you have? And I feel like sometimes we gotta, and we've been doing it in all these pockets and spheres of like, what do I have to bring? You know, what is the ingenuity that we can use with what we got to make the best that we have?
Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dope, man. And I'm getting hip here with this lingo. But, you know, rent parties, that's... So talk me through it. So I get invited to a party. I bring $10 and yeah. we have a couple iced teas and do some dancing and person can afford their rent.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, those are it's small things, but it, I mean, it's things that like... we need, you know, and I know not a lot of people are fans of GoFundMe, but a lot of people are even like posting like mutual aid posts about, you know, what they need. Because at the end of the day, like, it's really about what, you know, like the people need, you know, and like just creating that economy within without those large corporations.
Absolutely. And that goes back to what you were saying earlier about knowing your community.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. And, you know, hey, Bear, go ahead.
I want to touch up on that knowing your community. Like, you know, I've lived in Southside, like, pretty much all my life. I'm 22 winters.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I literally never been in Indigenous People's Task Force building, like, ever. Yet I've been in, like, the resource center when I was younger. And... I don't know. I even going to the resource center, I never knew who any of the workers were or nothing like that. But like, you know, when I started being involved more in my community, when I started volunteering my time, and you know, especially when I joined Many Shields, mm-hmm. I got to know my community more. You know, I know who their clientele were. I know who the staff were. I don't know. I just that really is like networking right there. Like, you know, I was able to talk to them and our guys too. We were able to talk to the staff and, like, you know, like, oh, you guys offer these resources. We can send people your way, you know. And I really think that knowing your community is important, too, because, like, even the people on the street are relatives.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them
mm-hmm.
in active addiction. And I don't even know this, but, like, someone I see walking past me all the time, like, you know, I don't know their name, but I see them walking the same route, like, around the same time every day. And whole time, that was... like my actual like blood relative.
Mm.
And I was like, that's crazy to me, you know? I was like, that's crazy to me. I got so much like actual relatives in the street and I do want to help them. I went up to them and I
yeah.
asked them their name or whatever, cause I seen them talking to my dad and he mentioned that they were my, our cousins, you know? And I asked how we were related and it was through his mom's side. So like, you know, now every time I see them, you know, I say what's up to them, you know, offer them water, you know, where they're headed, you know, are they good? But, yeah.
That's awesome because I believe our unsheltered relatives feel invisible, too. And so by you doing that makes a human being acting with another human being, which is all we really want as humans.
Yeah. Never homeless before, what?
1492.
Yeah, 1492.
That's Columbus came here then.
Yeah, never homeless before that.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all took care of each other, and I feel like, you know, a group like Many Shields and other groups out there that work for the community are getting back to the community what you were talking about, what Bear was talking about, and that's important. That is so important because when you fall, you have to have somebody to catch you.
Yeah.
And that's something that you're getting back to, you're talking to about, and you're doing.
Yeah. I feel like people forget, like, there's care in action. Like, there's care in, like, the reckoning. There's care in, like, the moments of, like, protest and, like, fighting back in resistance. Like, I think that sometimes it could look really hardcore, but it's really just about how much you care and how much you're willing to give that time for people. And it's not, you know, it's not easy, but that's why it's like, it's, you know, all hands on deck.
Yeah, and I agree. And I also want to bring up, though, too, and I brought up earlier, too, that some people don't have the capacity, too, possibly you two do, and to concentrate on one thing, because even the people that voted for the orange one are upset. And we saw what happened in Texas. And, you know, we're seeing what's happening in L.A. We see what's happening here in our, you know, Lake Street in our own backyard. And so people, whatever capacity do you have to move forward. And whether you are a Facebook warrior or an internet warrior or you're there hands-on. And I know what's really crazy for me is that really my journey really started with Standing Rock and the seven fires that left Standing Rock. I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, but you know who AOC is?
Yeah.
So she got fired up because she went to Standing Rock and ran for office. I mean, there's all these things that came from there, whether it's Reservation Dogs, the TV show, or the movies The Predator, all these things that happen because of Standing Rock. And now we're prepared to take the next step because during the Dakota Access Pipeline, we got organized in a good way, in a peaceful way. And that's where we're at right now. And I believe that's we're at a turning point here with this country. And I've always said to my students, I go, you know, this thing called America, you know, is not going to last forever. So you better learn how to harvest a bear or something because or grow food. And you're not ready yet, but we need to get ready because this experiment's only been around for 250 years and we've been around for 10,000 years.
Yeah, I think one thing I'm kind of learning from everything is like I didn't realize how much of a pulse of an action or pulse of like a of resistance can actually like make echoes, you know, and you never know, you know, it could be the smallest thing, but like you never know how much that's going to go.
Yeah. That's why I bring up like AOC being at Standing Rock. When I heard that, that blew my mind.
Yeah.
And then she made a decision that day to run for, you know, her office.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And so that is crazy. You know, and we haven't really talked about this, but there was a lot of things happening positively, too, during the George Floyd incident. And what I mean by that, and I don't mean about the people that came from out of state and burned our city down, but I'm talking about the people that got together and said, this is wrong and we got to stand up to this and stand up for it for many, many, many days in peaceful protesting. And again, who would burn down their own pharmacy that's within, you know, the only pharmacy they had within 10 miles of their house?
Yeah.
So there was actors coming in the city, and we don't talk about that enough.
I mean, I think the impact of it shows of how much more locally, like, Minneapolis and just, like, the Twin Cities have become, you know, like, how much, like, we've been leaning into, like, local, like, news, local events, local, like, music, you know, and trying to actually understand, like, we see each other, you know, whether it be small pockets and
good
pushing
call.
That, yeah.
So as a younger person, Bear, what do you make of all this that's happening? I mean, things are happening so fast. I can't imagine being 22 years old and living right now. I mean, was it a day at a time, or how do you do with it, Bear?
I don't know. It sucks being this young and living through like historical events.
Yeah.
Like every other like year or week or month, you know. Yeah. I don't know how I cope with it. I guess, you know, how I do cope with it is we do have that men's group, Many Shields. It's it is a men's group first and foremost, and that our patrols is like a separate, it's like a branch of it, you know what I mean? Part of the same tree. So there on Mondays we go and, you know, we talk about how we can better the community, how we can better ourselves. And I don't know, that's just it. But I do wanted to touch up a little bit about the in 2020 the riots and how that affected me. I was a young man. I call myself a boy, honestly. Mm-hmm. The way everything happened. I was only 17 around the time, and like, I don't know. Every time I just looked on the news, all I seen was like something else getting looted, someone else, you know, burning something down. I seen some people get shot. I was scared because that wasn't that far from me. I lived in Little Earth.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And, you know, we organized together. We banded together. And, I don't know, that was beautiful to me. I still hear stories from, like, other people and other communities about how, like, we inspired them. And I was like, that's crazy as heck, you know.
There was people protesting all over the world for George Floyd. And people would like to forget that. But I remember a big crowd of people that were looting and going crazy were heading towards Little Earth, and the Little Earth protectors shoot them away. I remember seeing that live on Facebook.
I was there that day, and I ain't gonna lie with you, I was not ready to, like, I think I had like a stick, like an actual stick.
Hopefully a heavy stick.
Yeah, I don't remember. I was not, you know, I don't know. I did not want to, like, hurt no one if I had to, but at the same time, you know, I was ready to, like, defend my home and defend my people and my community. That was my community.
Well, and let's be clear, too. They were ready to burn down Little Earth.
Yeah.
Let's be clear about that.
And, they, you know, we confronted them. And I can't really remember what happened because I wasn't, like, right there in the front. But they ended up going a different way. And then later that night, and this is actually crazy, we got attacked by the National Guard.
Yeah.
And that was like, I don't know, that was like, I don't know, it was like a wake up, like a super wake up call for me. Like, I was already awoken, you know, and then, right. I don't know, I just, like, kept me up for days. That was really intense and scary, you know. I never got, like, attacked by the National Guard. They were, like, shouting at us, telling us to go home, go inside our homes, shooting rubber bullets at us. I don't know, it was wicked. I ain't gonna lie either. I was, like, one of the first ones to, like, run, because I was, like I said, I was a boy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And it was crazy, too, because they also slashed all our tires that we were using as, like, a blockade.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they didn't just slash those tires. They went into, like, the parking lots and slashed, like, everyone up.
Yeah.
Almost everyone's tires. And I thought that was crazy. And, you know, my dad, after that night, my dad, you know, still went out. My mom's like, you know, we got to get out of the city for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up taking all my family members. All my family members, and we ended up going down to a hotel outside the city, and we stayed there for like a couple of days, and they gave us a discount too, because, you know, we were like kind of like fleeing.
Yeah,
it was crazy too, because we seen other families there, not from our community, but from the area.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they still were a part of our community. We just didn't like
talk to them. Right. Well, it's important that we bring these things up and remind people of how messed up things were. I lived through 1968, which was an unbelievable time. Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. Martin Luther King was assassinated. What happened at the convention? National Convention, Democratic National Convention. So all these things happened. We lived through that, and we're in the middle of this now, but it's great to bring up these stories. We only got a couple minutes left here, and I would like to maybe some final thoughts, and I'm gonna start with you, young warrior.
I would say, you know, time is on our side, the people are on our side. Know the people, love the people, and you know, all of this is just like a amplified version of hate, you know. So it's like, know your love. So I'm gonna say that.
Good one. Bear, what do you got for me?
She kind of said, you know, what I kind of wanted to say, but also forgot to mention about the podcast. It's called Sage in the City.
Yeah.
That's the name we chose. It's gonna be on the IPM pages. That's on Facebook, Instagram. We're gonna get a TikTok, and I think a Spotify.
It's gonna be dope.
Yeah, we're going to, I know KFAI and Native Roots Radio is definitely willing to support this and to get it out there to the community and help produce it. And that's kind of why you're here, is to get your feet wet and know if Robert Pilot can do this, anyone can do this.
Right. Stay tuned. Stage in the City.
Yeah. What do we got? Are we going down to two more minutes?
Or that's it.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to say a big peeny geeky thank you so much for being on. This, I haven't been at KFAI for quite a while and done a live show in quite a while. I did one for Roya right after the election, and it's always great to be in the studio. And I feel like being in the studio, we really are on the shoulder of a great people, because KFAI was started many, many years ago in a church basement by Native Americans. We're really involved with KFAI, and you don't hear that history very often, but
that's dope.
But that's, you know, and so bringing people like you here and having the Native shows on here really shows again resistance, and that's what we're the experts
at. Yeah, existence is resistance.
Oh, I'm gonna make a t-shirt out.